Okay. Hello, this is Hasmin Ortiz with the Dow 50 Commemorative Story Program here with
Ed Friedman.
Ed Friedman, who is here to share his story with us. And if you want, you can introduce yourself.
So, 50 years ago, I had arrived at the University of Wisconsin as a new member of the Department of Political Science. I was teaching my first courses, and some students in the class told me that the sit-in to try to prevent Dow from recruiting on campus was going to take place at such and such a time. And a number of students asked me if I would show up outside of the Commerce Building, today's Ingham Hall, and just stand there and be a witness to whatever happened. So I went to do that, and I can actually find my face in the pictures that were printed last Sunday in the Wall Street Journal. You can see me on the side of the building standing and looking, because that's all I'm doing is standing and looking. So I don't see what happens inside the building. I see what happens as what struck me as the sheriff deputies, much more than anybody else, were beating and pushing the sit-in students out of the building. And what struck me were two things. One, there was a totally unnecessary use of force, just beating people who were already running out. And the second thing that struck me was the sexual nature of what was going on. That, and this is, I assume, the thing I'm telling you that others might not have, is that the sheriffs, when they hit the guys, they went after the gonads. They meant to strike them in the balls. And many of the girls back then wore miniskirts. And they really did their best to lift up the miniskirts with their batons. And that is really what struck me. I was just shocked by what clearly was the sexualized nature of the attack. You can imagine. So I would add all sorts of reasons why, what would be going on in the heads of those people to do that. But I really was stunned. I sit here 50 years and a day later. I actually can still see in my head, that was how shocked I was. I was just not expecting such a thing to occur. And I think that's the only story I have to tell. You wouldn't have heard everything else from everybody else, too.
Did you get any of the reactions of the students who did have that, that were beaten and had that that aspect of humiliation?
So the answer is no. Probably all my fault for not knowing how to talk to people. But also, in the whole period of the demonstrations, students were extraordinarily polite. It's hard to recreate for people how polite they were, but they would be almost embarrassed if they were going to miss time in class, and certainly no one was going to come to you with some excuse about that there was something wrong with them. They wanted to get on in the classroom with their ordinary life. I mean, to me, it was one of the hallmarks of being at Wisconsin how absolutely polite students were, mm-hmm. even while other things were going on that they may even have been doing. So no, I never had any conversations following up.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting, because we've heard that students were radicalized after these actions, and you mentioned that they remained polite.
They were polite.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Even the most radical. Even the most radical. I mean, I had, for example, in a classroom way beyond the date, probably closer now to the 1970 and the bombing or the invasion of Cambodia, when there was a student strike. And during that period, I remember a young woman standing up and demanding that we stop listening to the pig professor, her phrase, and walk out on the class. And she got some people to walk out. She came back the next day and apologized, literally apologized for what she had said and done. I eventually wrote a letter for recommendation for her to medical school, and last I heard, she was a doctor practicing in poor areas of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, that was my experience of the students. Extraordinary. One day, I saw a picture of a student who had been pistol whipped, a photographer on the Cardinal. And the next day he came to class and his jaw was all bandaged up. And he said, Papa, I don't think I can get that paper in today. Can I have an extra day for the paper? That was basically, it was at that level of politeness throughout the whole thing. And the radicalization that occurred for me, I'm a faculty member, I'm not a student, was what happened to the faculty. Do you know the story of what happened to the faculty?
I don't.
Okay, so afterwards a emergency faculty meeting was called at the student union in the auditorium. Standing room only, had an overflow crowd. Previously, faculty was run by in a town meeting way. Anybody who came to a meeting in the faculty senate had a vote, just like in a New England town meeting. And what actually occurred, it was run by very senior people, sort of an old boys network. And suddenly all these young faculty, because 60s was a tremendous area of academic growth, a large number of young faculty, all showed up and eventually took control of the faculty senate and voted for things such as you couldn't throw students out of school for acts having nothing to do with the university. In other words, if you sat in the recruitment office for the military, you went down there and you sat in or threw blood and you were arrested, you couldn't be thrown out for that. If you went to classes and got your grades, if you didn't, you could be thrown out. If you robbed a student, you could be thrown out, but you couldn't be thrown out. And that very much upset the administration and faculty senate as it was. Town meeting was abolished to the present system of representation, which they now have. So that is the administration saw it. You shouldn't have young faculty radicals from LNS dominating. You would have enough votes from agriculture and engineering and so on, by representatives, so that you'd go back to the good kind of governance.
Yeah, that's an interesting result of seeing the faculty kind of stand up for their students and their...
That's exactly how it was felt.
The faculty
cared about their students. It's exactly correct.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add about how it affected
your
time?
Anything else I saw, how it affected me?
Mm-hmm.
Other than my becoming, well, it began, what affected me was the kinds of things that would lead to the changes in the police department and the mayor in Madison, Wisconsin. You could see how the sheriff's deputies were out of control and how they could dominate the situation. And I think that and subsequent demonstrations really led to a desire in the city to change the nature of the city police, to not have the sheriff deputies in charge inside of the city, and to elect a new mayor who would be giving different orders to the police so you wouldn't have police riots. I mean, what happened at Dow, well, it was a sheriff deputy riot, but it was the county police that rioted against the students. That was the actual event that occurred. You could have, these were peaceful sit-iners. You could have carried them out one by one, as happens. There was no problem. And no one was violently resisting anything. They were attacked. And it was it was the attack. And the nature of the attack, which was the only thing that was stunning to me. I really have no other story to tell.
Well, thank you for sharing your story.
Okay.
It's going to be a good perspective for us.
My pleasure.
And just before we end, I'm just going to say my name again and yours. Thank you for sharing your story, Ed. And this is Hasmi Ortiz on October
19th.
19th, 2017, for the Dow 50 Commemoration Story Project.
It's a pleasure.
Nice meeting you. All right, let's make sure I've got everything.